Hello and welcome to
2 o'clock with Kella.
Bring your tea
and leave with more.
Hello. Welcome back to another episode. Sorry, Tilly's laughing at me across the room.
I actually can't. How are you today?
I'm great. I figured out that I can't bake banana bread.
Oh no.
But that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, I can't make. Actually, I don't know. I can make banana bread. Well, I don't know. It is a bit awkward.
Yeah. In my defense, it's harder making it with gluten-free flour.
Oh, yeah, that is. So, in positive news, we're about to talk about Colleen Hoover.
We actually are. And I think this is an episode that, well, we've been speaking about it a lot, but I'm sure. I guess we're a little bit late to the game with the Colleen Hoover hype.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. But she's still there. People still.
Yeah. Still
publishing and whatever. So I don't know what to say.
Yeah.
No, I think it'll be exciting because I don't think I really spoke too much about what I thought.
No, not really.
And that's the only one.
Before we get into it, can I ask, why is it that there's beef about her?
I didn't actually suppose either, but also I think I did hear a little bit about how she uses lots of not so great personal experiences in her books.
Oh.
To the extent where she's just kind of changing names and nothing else, and I guess that's a bit of a funny.
Oh yeah, that's not good. So. I just googled why is Colleen Hoover problematic, and they said her writing is lackluster at best.
I mean, it's not the most fabulous writing ever.
Yeah, no. Oh, and also, some people think that she is glorifying abuse in It Ends With Us, which I disagree with, but we can get into that.
Yeah. Tilly's just said that supposedly her son is the one who's a bit not her. Yeah, and also everyone hates her because she casted the wrong people for the film.
Oh, well, did she have a say in that?
I think she did. I think she's like an executive producer or something.
How could she do that?
But I think that's very much they match with her imagination of what the people
like. Fair enough.
I do think they're definitely too old.
Yeah. But then some people said that they aged them up because they didn't want to show violence with young people. But then that's kind of the point.
And like it still happens with young people as well as older people.
Yeah.
Like, why? But yeah, it's not to say that Colleen Hoover and her work doesn't oh my god, I can't talk. There's definitely a lot of kind of conversation around her and her writing and a lot of opinions.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, do you know what? I just thought of another thing. It's because they did a colouring book of It Ends With Us.
I do remember hearing about that and people were like, that's not really the right kind of novel to make a colouring book out of.
No. But what are you colouring in for that book?
Yeah.
Like, literally what?
Her flower shop?
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah, in summary, we're not going to have a go at her in this episode. I don't really know all of the drama, but you know, I love It Ends With Us.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to say to start with, so we're not ignoring it, but you know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're just taking the book as it is.
And I can provide little summaries at the end of my thoughts on. I think I've read 5 Colleen Hoover books now.
Wow.
So I'll do a little rundown at the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, like she was definitely part of the big kind of TikTok books boom. And she definitely got a lot of people who maybe wouldn't have really read that much into reading, and therefore into other books as well as hers, which it can never be a bad thing when you get people into reading.
Yeah, I've never seen so many
community of people.
Yeah, I've never seen so many people in my life reading the same book, apart from say Harry Potter or Hunger Games. The amount of people reading it ends with us, it's crazy. Everywhere you go at the airport, on the train, everyone's reading it.
Yeah, exactly. And everyone in our kind of age range knows of it as well. Even if they haven't read it, they know of it, and they kind of know a little bit about what's it about. It is about.
Every week when I look at the bookseller, It Starts With Us is still at the top of the, I don't know if it's still number one.
That's impressive though, that it's still up.
Like in the UK, it's still pretty much number one book.
Yeah. Yeah. Have you read that one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'll jump in the gun a bit. What we've been consuming.
Yes. Would you like to start us off with what you've been consuming this week?
Yeah, okay. I don't know what to pick, because normally I don't sit and watch anything. So I don't know. I'd go for the book I'm reading at the moment. But I've been watching so much recently. I've seen Good Omens season 2. I don't know that I said that last time.
No, I don't think so.
Which I've never been so emotioned by a TV series in my life. It was a lot, and I keep going on about it to everyone because beautiful. It's just beautiful. Aww. Yeah, I felt like this was really written for the fans. I said to you earlier that it feels like fan fiction, so I thought it was just the best ever, and I can't stop thinking about it. And I've never been so, like, not necessarily invested, but just, I don't know the word I'm looking for, but like, I had such a reaction to it.
Oh.
In the final episode, I was like, waiting for you to watch it next week, but I highly recommend. Hopefully everyone that is listening has seen season 1, because I don't know anyone that disliked it. So big recommend.
I don't think I do either.
But yeah, season 2 out now.
But yeah, I'm very excited to watch it, and I will be sending you and George updates continuously. So get ready for that.
Thank you. I am excited. Okay, what have you been consuming?
What have I been consuming? Actually, not loads, but I have in the past 2 days watched the entirety of Heartstopper series 2.
Woo!
So Carrie and I watched the first 4 episodes together the other night, and then I watched the other ones yesterday and today. And it's just really sweet, and it's just so lovely to see. I mean, you know this because we've spoken about this, but it's just so lovely to see such, like, good examples of relationships and communication between such young people, and how you get to see little insights into everyone's lives and their things they're struggling with, kind of personally and on a kind of wider scale as well, and how just lovely and supportive and understanding and there for each other all of them are. And I just hope and wish that all the people who watch this take that into their own lives as well. And I think it's so worth watching, because it just highlights all of these just amazing relationships in such a positive light, which I feel like isn't really shown in a lot of things. Not aside from the kind of typical heterosexual relationships and things, it's nice to see the LGBTQIA+ community being shown in all their wonderful glory. Yeah, no, it's really, really sweet. So wholesome. The little animations that they get, the little sparks and the little leaves and like the little butterflies or the heart. It's just, it's really cute. And I think that's such a clever way of moving it from graphic novel to TV and kind of still having that element of it. So yeah, it's very cute.
You put that so well. It's the most wholesome thing ever. So agree. It's so lovely to see that adaptation from graphic novel to screen. Yeah. I think that just gives it a little something extra, you know.
Yeah, definitely. It's really sweet.
Yeah.
So really sweet. We'd really recommend that to everyone. It's on Netflix.
I'm pretty sure 99% of people that are listening to this have already seen it.
Yeah, they probably have.
Which makes me so happy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you know on Insta, Kit Connor has almost 6 million followers?
Wow, that's so impressive. I think he definitely is going to become he's going to be in everything.
Oh, he will be.
Like, he's going to go far. And I think a lot of the others as well, actually. I remember when, I can't remember, Yasmin Finney, is that her name? Who plays Elle.
Mm.
She was on the cover of Vogue at some point in the past year.
Mm.
Yeah. I think it was when they did four different covers. But yeah, they did a series of four covers. In 1 month, which was like up and coming. It wasn't actually, no, because Sienna Miller was one of them, so it wasn't even like up and coming. It was like actresses of the moment, I think.
Okay, yeah.
And she was one, and I thought that's so cool.
I love that. Yeah,
yeah. Anyway, sorry, that was a lot of rambling about Heartstopper, but it is wonderful. You should definitely watch it.
Definitely.
Hearts all around.
Oh. Yeah.
And let's just jump in to Colleen Hoover.
What did you rate it? What did you rate it, End of Us?
I'm thinking it was maybe a 3 or a 4.
Okay.
Vincent, careful. My cable.
Vince Cable.
It ends with us. I gave it 4, and I said, an undeniably emotional novel that had me experiencing such a wide range of emotions. I became so engrossed in the characters' lives, and I'm sure this story will stay with me for a long time.
Oh. Do you stand by that?
So, yeah. It was a lot. Reading it was a lot. It felt like a lot.
It was a lot.
It is a lot. And you're so, like, there are moments where you're kind of just, it's really sweet, and like you're like, oh, this is so lovely, you're skipping through them, to other points where you feel like you're going through it so quickly because you're like, I don't, like, it just feels so hard, so you're like, oh god, I'm just gonna get through this to hopefully get to the other side. But what did you think?
Well, I gave it 5 stars.
Yeah.
And it's now one of my favorite books I've ever read. I would say I give it 5 stars, even though I don't think it's perfect, but just because it got to me so much.
Yeah.
More for sentimental reasons and being like, wow, this is a work of art. I don't particularly like the other books of hers that I've read. I loved Ugly Love, but yeah, for the most part, I don't really like her writing. Definitely flaws to this book, but I feel bad for you because I've definitely told you this about like 3 times.
Okay.
But so I wanted to read this book because I must have been when it just started going around on TikTok and I saw it everywhere. And I was like, ooh, pink cover. This looks all cute and romantic. Let's go. I want to read this big rom-com everyone's talking about. Got it for my birthday. Might have been my 21st birthday, actually. And, I thought, oh, let's read something nice before bed. Send me to sleep. And then cut to 4 a.m. and I'd finished it. And I was just sobbing, dehydrated, on the floor. Actually, I was on the floor, I was on my bed. And I was like, I don't think life will ever be the same again.
Oh.
So while I'm not necessarily the biggest advocate of her books, this book, I think, is extraordinary. Mm. And it really affected me. And I never read books just in one sitting, but I couldn't go to sleep. I just couldn't. Also, what a shock I had.
Yeah, I know. If you went into that being like, oh, it's going to be a really nice, wholesome, lovely love story.
Yeah.
And then that's annoyingly one of the most annoying misconceptions about this book.
Yeah.
People disregard it because they think it's just a soppy romance.
Yeah.
When actually it deals with a lot of much bigger issues than that.
It's a tricky one.
Often aren't talked about in fiction nor in life, really. You see it maybe sometimes on TV programs and things.
Mm.
But yeah.
It's hard because on the one hand, it's annoying that there's that misconception. Wait, no, let me start again. Well, I agree with you in that respect, in that I wish like people didn't disregard it, being like, oh, it's romance, rubbish, like you shouldn't read it, you're not gonna get anything out of it. Whereas as you said, it actually deals with super important topics. But also, well, yeah, it's in the same vein. It's just like it's been marketed completely wrong.
Yeah. But then again, or has it been marketed right? But
well, I don't know.
Get back onto that.
It's just that I can't get my words up, but what I'm essentially thinking about is it's really bad that you get that impression of it that it is a straight romance book, because trigger warning. So this is a book about domestic abuse, and that is, well, yeah, essentially the plot of the book.
Yeah.
That's a huge part of it. And so it's really bad that it's been marketed as straight romance, because then there could be people picking it up that maybe aren't ready to read about that yet.
Yeah.
Especially because I know some booksellers and they've had children come into the shop and want to, well, I don't know, children or teens, young people want to buy it. And I think, I don't know, I don't want to gatekeep, but I don't know, I always give that to them.
Yeah.
Depends on the age. So I guess it depends, yeah. But, so I think it's been packaged really wrong. But then I don't know, but then do you think that they get more sales if it is packaged in that way? I don't know.
I think it would have put off a lot of people from reading it if they knew what it was about before they read it. But then again, that's not to say that, I don't know, because it brings up that question of, should trigger warnings be put at the beginning of books?
Yeah.
Some people say yes, some people say no. But then that's the sort of thing where then you're verging into, well, should you give books age ratings in the same way that you give films age ratings?
Yeah.
But then again, that's like you're saying, like, do you want to not gatekeep, but
yeah, it's so tricky. I just don't know the answer. It's
very tricky. Yeah.
Yeah, I honestly don't know.
I don't know either.
But I think, well, I could be wrong, but it seems to me when people accuse Colleen Hoover of having glamorized the domestic abuse in it, I wonder if it's actually more so all the stuff surrounding it rather than the actual text itself.
Yeah, yeah. Like you say, are they saying it's glamorized because of how the book is marketed and presented?
Yeah.
Are they saying that, oh, they're making it seem like this is just a normal thing within relationships, but actually,
yeah,
it's quite scary within the book how it's not the most obvious and easy thing for you to see even yourself as you're reading what's going on. It shows that kind of confusion and that conflict for the characters yourself as you're reading it, questioning what they do.
I don't know if it does, because I found, especially reading it, not knowing what was going to come or that is what it was about, I found that I didn't necessarily think certain things were that bad. I think now that I realise they are, but I think that's the point, is that Gordon Hoover's trying to take you in to think, make you think like, oh, actually, maybe I could kind of excuse that. And you really feel like you are Lily.
Yeah.
And I can really understand. And when you see, I think maybe before this book, sometimes you think, why is it so hard for someone who's in that situation to not leave it? Because I think, say if someone hit me, I would be straight out of that. I'd just leave.
Yeah.
But then reading this, I so understood, because I really got into Lily's mindset and I was like, oh, that's not that bad. And I was like, after the first time he hit her, I was like, oh, I guess it was just like a one-off thing. It's not a major part of the book. It's their love story. And as it went on, I was like, oh no.
Yeah. And like you say, it makes you realise how, when you're in it, it's never as clear, and like how you've always got those people on the outside being like, oh, why didn't you just leave the first time you did it? And it's like, well, actually, it's not always that obvious and that clear.
Yeah.
And some of these people do such a good job of hiding that and coming off as this like great nice guy kind of persona type thing. And when you have people who want to see the best in people and take people by their word, it makes you question people, but like not necessarily in a bad way, but also kind of, I don't know. It's a lot packed into like 300-400 pages.
It is. And I was gaslit so much.
I think as a reader, you're meant to, kind of like she is.
Yeah, because I obviously...
And that's what makes it, I think, really good and quite an important book for people to read.
Yeah, because I really fancied Raoul for so long. Well, maybe that's too strong a word, but I was feeling Raoul.
He's this attractive doctor who's, like, assertive and cool and has this a lovely sister who's also really nice to you and kind of is encouraging Lily to live out her dreams, and you know,
it's that whole we all love a bad boy, don't we?
Exactly. Yeah, and that as well, and he's got like a like dark edge to him, and it's like, oh, that's what girls love, bad boy. Not that type of bad boy.
No. I think it's intentional that we're supposed to like Raoul and to understand why Lily doesn't want to leave him. Yeah. I definitely did, because she said that herself. She didn't understand why her mum didn't leave her dad.
Yeah.
And then in the end, she's like, oh, yeah, okay, I get it now. Mm. But I think that's actually really clever that the book managed to manipulate me that much to completely change my mindset about it.
So
now I think I'm much more aware, and I'm like, oh my god, even little things just don't, like that could so turn into something so bad. So it was a bit of a wake-up call reading it, to be honest.
Definitely is
And definitely made me have a lot more understanding of what it's like to be in that situation. Obviously everyone's situation is different, but like just an example.
Yeah, and I guess that's where a lot of her drawing from her personal experience of this feeds in. And I guess that's better than her just completely making everything up, but then it's also that kind of funny ground of using real life. But then again, doesn't all fiction come from real life and real people? And there are real people like this.
Yeah.
As well.
I think that the reason why this book for me is so far above her other books,
yeah,
is actually her using her real life experience, and it, I can feel that in it. It feels very personal and confessional to an extent.
Yeah.
And I think that it feels like there's more of a point to it than her other texts. And I'm glad that there's that for a romance book. Well, I guess it would still be in that category because of the romance with her and Atlas, because that half of the story is romance, I suppose.
Yeah, and you could even argue that Lily and Ryle, there is romance there.
Yeah. I think it's so good, for a change to...
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe, like, pull readers into thinking they're going to read that, and then to actually be like, no, let's talk about toxic relationships. You know what I mean? Like, one step further than that.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, that's too much of an understatement.
Mm.
Yeah. And you know what? People, including myself, criticise her writing for not being the best stylistically, and I did notice that more in other books.
Okay.
I was like, oh no, in this one, yeah, I don't know, I just think that the content of this far outweighs like the need for having really phenomenal writing skills, in terms of like on a language like sentence level.
Yeah,
but actually there were quite a few really good structural things that she did in this that were really beneficial to the plot. And rereading it, I was absolutely shook. Like with the whole with the magnet.
Yeah.
And like, oh my god, that turned out to be such a big thing. And I think it feeds into how well she builds this up for you to be taken in by Ryle.
Yeah.
And then at the end, be like, oh my god, how did I get sucked in so easily? But I think it's all of this is wrapped up in, like, I think if she has a good enough theme to write about, not necessarily even good enough, but like one that she feels like she can write well about, that's got some kind of purpose to it, something more, then I think that she does really well.
Yeah, I definitely agree that it is the content of this book that makes it what it is and so good, that allows you to overlook the few kind of cringy lines you get and the not so great, like the moment. There were a couple of moments where I was reading it and I felt like I was kind of jolted out of it by the way she said certain things.
Yeah.
Or wrote them. But I mean, like you say, at the end of the day, what the book is about completely overrides that, and the message that she is making is much more important and keeps you reading and keeps you going and still ends up getting high praise and reviews for it.
Yeah.
Sure.
And she communicated what she wanted to communicate in this.
Yeah.
So I could overlook some of the cringier elements.
Yeah, definitely. I can't think of any off the top of my head.
Well, first of all, just the names.
First of all, the names. Like Lily, that's a fine name, but then having her surname be Bloom.
That was a step too far.
Flower shop.
Just leave it a Lily, please.
It's a bit much. And then Ryle and Atlas, both made up names. But I know they're not. But...
I really don't like those names. As Jack Edwards said, that riles me right up.
Yeah, definitely.
Her names are really bad in all of her books. I really don't like them, yeah. But maybe that's just a personal thing.
But I feel like naming a character is such an important thing.
She has
to kind of get that so wrong consistently. It's quite
She has a really hot character. The main guy in Verity is called Jeremy.
Jeremy.
I'm really sorry to Jeremy listening to this, but
unless he's like Jeremy Allen White.
Is that the bear?
Yeah.
The bear guy. No, I need to
about the bear, but I love the bear. I'll mention it next week.
Okay. And this is like Summer Term Pretty. It's like they call him Jer.
Yeah.
I don't like that. In Ugly Love, I'm trying to think what they're called. I feel like it was really bad. Maybe it wasn't so bad. They should call Tate. That's better. That's a lot better. Right. Yeah.
That feels,
I think it's Tate and Miles in that. That's much better.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't like how it's fine that she writes to Ellen DeGeneres, but
that was a bit cringy.
The whole Dory thing. Just keep, what is he, Alice said, like, you reached the shore or something, which is really sweet in context. It's hard. I feel like I can't dislike it because it provides such comfort to her in it.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
But I kind of would have preferred her to pick something else instead of Dory.
The whole Ellen thing. I know that acts as, like you say, another comfort thing and a kind of bonding thing between her and Atlas.
Yeah.
But it's like, it's kind of, it's like she was like, I want her to have a diary where she can write all these things, but I don't want it to be an actual diary because that's done too often. So instead they're going to be, it's like she knew she wanted to do flashbacks. And thought that having it in a written form like that would be the best way of doing it, but didn't want a diary.
Yeah.
I mean, kudos for originality.
Yeah, but then when you read her other books, you realise that she does do that quite a lot, where half the book is a diary in the past, or some kind of diary thing, and then you have the present. So, I don't know. But I mean, it was important that she did have some kind of diary or record, because then with Ryle, then he finds them. I don't want to say plot point, because that sounds insensitive, but I think it helps her to convey Ryle's absolutely awful behaviour.
Yes, definitely.
It kind of, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. For sure.
How did you feel about having that whole past timeline? Did you like having the two timelines?
I think I did, in the sense that I like to see the two different relationships, and it makes you realise maybe how not great the Ryle one is, and it does make you realise what she's like as a person a lot more, and making Atlas more of like you understanding him being there and why that's such a big thing, because I think without it you wouldn't be able to have these kind of, it's not really dual love story, but you know what I mean, you wouldn't have this triangle that isn't really a triangle, it's more of just the V shape. And I guess it does bring out, I don't know what I'm saying. No, so I thought it was definitely useful and needed for the story she was trying to tell, to make you realise different things about the characters that I don't think you would have been able to do in a single timeline, if that makes sense. That was a very convoluted way of saying that.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah.
Yeah, and I think to have that contrast of an example of a healthy relationship versus one that isn't, I think that's useful. And I was going to say, to have some kind of light relief from the prison, but then also not, because things aren't so straightforward in that timeline, because then that is, there's more of a focus on her abusive father, so it's still not great. But I think it allows you to see a Lily before Ryle and what you want her to return to being like, and being able to feel. But I love Atlas a lot. And the moment when it turned out it was his restaurant.
Oh my god, loved it.
Oh my god. Yes, I was so happy. Yeah. And it's nice to have something to root for.
It is nice. And I think in a book like this, you need something to root for. Rather than it just ending with just her and her child out.
I think what is really good as well is that she doesn't end up with Atlas. Well, maybe she does in the sequel. But in this, it ends with him. He just says to her, if you, by some miracle, ever find yourself ready to fall in love with someone again, then let it be me. And so it was really good, because I'd hate for her to just go from one man to another, one man fix her problems.
Exactly.
So it's really good that she has that time by herself, and that he just helps her as a friend. So I mean, that was definitely the best way to go, but I still, it was really nice to have a love story that was actually lovely to read alongside it. To then leave it until time had passed and for a sequel to give us the ending that we needed.
Very good. Should we take a quick game break and then come back to some...
Okay.
It's game time.
Right, this week we're going to be playing a game of Hot or Not, but film edition, thinking about films that we've recently seen the trailers for. And
okay, did you see the trailer for Poor Things?
No.
Which was Emma Stone?
No, I don't know if I've heard of this.
Oh,
anyway,
is that not what it's called? Oh no, that is what it's called. Yeah, with Mark Ruffalo.
No, I don't know. I don't think I knew about this.
Oh my god, watch the trailer, okay? Because that's hot.
Okay.
Because Emma Stone gets brought back to life, and it's kind of Frankenstein-y, but not.
Maybe I have heard of this. I recognise what she looks like in it.
I think she was British, can't remember. I don't know, but she was, it's so fun. All I can say is watch the trailer, it's so absurd.
Okay. Well, we love a good absurd film.
Yeah. But I'm excited. I want to watch that one in the cinema.
Yeah.
Modern day female Frankenstein, kind of.
Ooh.
Hot take. Yeah.
Okay. I haven't seen the trailer yet, but sounds like the sort of thing I'd go in for.
Okay.
Is that Daniel Defoe as well?
Was he?
Is he? It is William Defoe, not Daniel Defoe. Who's Daniel Defoe?
No, I knew what you meant. Well, Daniel Defoe, the writer.
Of course.
Brought back to life.
Trying to think of Robinson Crusoe fame. Very good. What did I see a trailer for? Haunted Mansion. Did you see a trailer for that? The new Disney one.
Oh, I was thinking of another film, which I will bring up next. Hang on. Who was in it? Let me look.
No idea.
Let me look at the picture.
I think it's definitely very much a kid's film, Haunted Mansion.
Okay. Was it hot or not?
I kind of think no. Partially because it was a kids film, but it did just look a little bit kind of cringy-esque.
Oh, well,
maybe it would be fun, but
it's Owen Wilson.
Yeah, but I think not hot.
I think it can't be, because I think it's not hot, because if I don't even remember this.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Is it? I think it's a remake as well. Is it? I don't know.
I'm not sure, and I think it's maybe based on the ride or something. I don't know.
Okay. Okay. Did you watch the trailer for A Haunting of Venice?
No, I did not.
It's a new Poirot one.
Ooh.
And it looks so creepy. I'm going to go with hot, because I didn't realise it was Poirot until the very end. It looked like a horror film. Ooh. Go and watch that trailer.
Yeah, I definitely will.
Mm.
Challengers, the tennis one with Zendaya.
Oh, do you know what? I didn't actually watch the trailer for this, but what are we thinking?
I'm thinking kind of hot.
What, that one scene?
No, I think it's one of those that I'm just picking ones that I'm unsure on. Like, I don't really know what the film is going to be about. I don't know if it's going to be any decent.
No.
But it seems, I don't know, I think it'd be interesting to watch.
Also, yeah.
I'm just going to pause the recording a second because I'm bursting for a wee. So I'm going to run to the loo.
Oh, God, yeah. Go.
Bye. Oh. So I think there seems to be a mix of hot and not films coming out.
A quick not, I'm still seeing Wonka.
Yeah. I mean, it does seem a little bit cringe. And he doesn't even look that hot.
No, I've kind of gone off him.
That's fair, that's okay.
No, I did, like, as in I like him as a person.
Yeah.
Well, I like him as an actor. Yeah.
But no, I think it's, I'll go see it.
Oh yeah, I'll still see it. I'll still see Dune.
Yeah, because I think it'll be fun and entertaining.
Yeah.
And you can kind of see what they're trying, and I guess Wonka's a bit of an odd character anyway, so they're kind of doing that.
Did you see that he didn't audition? What was it? No, my question is, though, if you're a famous actor, like, do you still have to audition? Like, you do?
I think it depends on who the casting director and who the director and whatever is. But things that surely he had to audition, but maybe they just said, oh, we'd like you for this role.
Yeah, but did you see why he didn't audition?
Because, like, he'd seen some of the, like, clips of him doing his, like, rap, hip-hop music stuff from when he was, like, a teenager.
I know. Imagine that being the reason you got a job.
Absolutely insane.
I have a rap video from when I was younger, and now I'm like, oh my god, this could be my chance.
Maybe. Wow, that is quite something. But yeah, I know. It's like, oh, I can't remember what film it was now. Oh no, it was with Tick, Tick, Boom, when Lin-Manuel Miranda was told that Andrew Garfield could sing.
Oh yeah.
And Andrew Garfield had no formal training at all.
Didn't his mate cast. Wasn't it like his mate called him up and was like, oh, I told Lin-Manuel you can sing.
Yeah.
So you got to do this movie, can you sing? And he was like, no.
Yeah, and he's like, okay, then we're doing it.
It's like, with Ben Hardy, he lied and said that he could play the drums and he couldn't, didn't he, for Bo Rap?
Yeah.
Mm.
But that's not to condone lying.
No.
But was there any clips of singing in the Wonka trailer? I don't know if there was.
I don't know. I was just so distracted by Hugh Grant being an Oompa Loompa.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that was not what I was expecting.
I can't unsee that.
No. But there you go. That's what you get for this week's game installment. Let us know if you have the same opinions or differing opinions.
Yeah.
Or some other films.
Please do.
Let's do it. Mm-hmm. And now back to Colleen Hoover.
Yeah.
I feel like we need, like, you know, when they jump to the weather and they show, like, the little sponsorship post, like, for the weather.
Yeah.
You see weather sponsored by whatever. It's like, I feel like we need that for our little game segment.
Oh, yeah, true. yeah, Colleen Hoover, yeah. So, what should we talk about next? How about the progression of the different things around it. So the first thing that made me, because I don't know this, I read this, well, actually, no, I have been rereading it, but I fully read it at least a year ago. Mm-hmm. First thing that I was like, wow, was when he burns his hand and then he hits her.
Yeah,
slaps her, and in that one I was persuaded to see that that wasn't so bad, because she does say, she's like, I'm gonna leave you, can't believe you did that, but because he's a surgeon and he needs his hands to operate and like they really hurt, and it was kind of just like a jerk reaction.
Yeah, and that is definitely how it's played off in the book.
Yeah.
Just a, like you say, just a reaction.
Yeah.
In that moment. Yeah. But when you take a step back and think, someone's reaction to something bad happening to them is to outwardly, I don't know.
But yeah.
In that moment when you're reading it, you're like, oh no,
that can be
forgiven.
I know. Yeah,
everyone acts out character sometimes.
Yeah, because but the problem is because it's, we start off with that, and then if you can forgive that, then as it progresses, and when he pushes her down the stairs,
oh my god,
no, get out of there, leave now. I don't. No.
And like you say, that's not a reaction in the same sense that the first incident can be played off as just an involuntary reaction.
Yeah.
That there is some thought going on there.
Yeah.
The scary part.
And it's hard because like you already stayed with him after he hit you the first time.
Yeah.
And so you forgave that. And then it's kind of like, oh, it's only like the second time.
Mm.
And I'm like, not that I agree, but that's kind of like the thought process like that she went through.
Yeah, and doesn't her mom say something to her about, someone said something to her about that later on in the book, how she begins to just forgive these tiny things, and then you just kind of get more and more kind of worn down by what you accept, to the point where really bad things are happening, but you're overlooking them.
Yeah. And what's scary about that time was how he was trying to convince her. He was like, oh, I literally like didn't even do that.
Yeah. Full on gaslighting.
That's like, so scary.
Edward Cullen in the hospital corridor.
Oh my god.
Yeah, you just hit your head. I was not across the car park.
Oh my god. Yeah. Like, toxic masculinity strikes again.
Toxic masculinity strikes again.
It's so worrying. And she still doesn't leave. Which, you know, as I said, like you can understand.
Mm.
And then when it gets to the point where then she's repeating what happened with her mum and her dad.
Yeah.
When she walks in and sees that he's about to rape her.
Yeah, oh my God. Yeah.
And then Ra's about to do that to her.
Oof.
That's really, really harrowing.
Yeah.
And I'm so glad, like, she managed to get out of that. And I think that was such a good scene to have in there. Again, wrong word. But,
No, it's such, like, an important...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I think so often when people might think of about rape as a society, they think of it as that, like a random guy, like, yeah, who kidnaps you kind of thing. Whereas actually a lot of the time it's with someone you already know, and it might be with, in this case, with Lily's husband.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I thought it was really important to show that and to properly, like, call it out. It's like in, I don't know if I already said this on the podcast before, but in Yellowface, she says something like, not everyone has a rape story, but every girl has a, I'm not sure, I didn't like it story.
Ooh.
And it's so true, because there's the things where you're like, well, he didn't, I don't know, like, I didn't necessarily say no. That kind of thing where you're like, everyone, every girl has some kind of, like, I'm not sure, like, I wouldn't quite call it rape, but it wasn't right. And so, like, I think that was really important for Colleen Hoover to have this scene, and to also have that, I mean, to really emphasise what happened with her mum and her dad, and to replay it. And that's such an important theme, is the idea of, like, being trapped in a cycle, because like, obviously that's a title, like, ending that cycle.
Yeah, and I thought that was really good for it to show a kind of realistic way of her being able to end the cycle and begin a new, better cycle, rather than to her being kind of condemned to the same fate as her parents.
Yeah, because again, it really shows how easy it is to be a victim to these kind of things, and I think also just when she says it ends with us, she's saying it for so many other people. That's how I interpreted it.
Yeah,
it's like, this is such an issue, like, just toxic masculinity, isn't it? Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's just a constant cycle.
It just repeats wider scale. Yeah.
Yeah, and it's repeated from generation to generation. And we're still, like, not sorting it out.
Yeah.
And, like, oh my God, and you know what? Also, it was so horrible in this. Was seeing that even though Alyssa and What's her husband called?
It's not Michael.
But
Alyssa and her husband, yeah.
Yeah.
Marshall.
I can't believe I just turned to a random page. That's and so it said funny. Alyssa and Marshall right there.
Top notch.
Yeah. Anyway, they know that Ryle hurt Lily.
Yeah.
And they still don't cut him out of their lives.
Yeah. And they know that he's got this kind of darkness to him.
Yeah.
But they never say anything until his darkness is shown to Lily.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a bit like, well, you're complicit in this then, surely.
Yeah.
You know. And then when they know that he is hurting her, and it's like, complacency is just, and not saying anything is just as dangerous.
Yeah.
People, like, that whole bystander
issue. Because you understand to a degree why Ryle is how he is. Mm. I mean, patriarchal society in it, but because it turns out that he shot his brother when he was little. However, like, I think that Alyssa and Marshall are clinging on to that fact to help them because they don't want to believe that he's just a horrible person.
Yeah. But there isn't always an excuse for
there just isn't. Like, if he's that impacted by it, go to therapy.
Yeah.
Like, you just can't excuse that.
No.
But I guess it is hard. Like, I don't know. Like, if imagine that was your sibling.
Well, I just think if
no.
No, it's horrible to think, but it's one of those things where, like, I know that we don't have any like an experience with this. I'm sure, like you say, there would be kind of methods of therapy and things, and surely you'd then want to be like the ultimate good person ever
rather than
doing harm if you feel so guilty about causing harm. But then again, it's different for everyone. You don't know, but I don't think it can be viewed as an excuse for him.
That is so heartbreaking when she finds out that she's pregnant.
Yeah, I know. And it's not often you read, or actually, it's not often I read about pregnancy or pregnant people. And I think it's even harder to read about that when you know the not great situation she's in. Because you can imagine the conflicting emotions and the emotions just being heightened to extreme levels as well.
Yeah.
In amongst all that. And how definitely. It brings, you've got more, you haven't just got yourself to think about anymore in those moments.
Yeah.
I think in a way, that is one of the reasons, I think, why Lily is able to end this cycle. Of abuse herself, because I think if she wasn't pregnant and if she didn't have a child, I think she would have found it a lot harder to leave Ryle, and she would have been with him for longer, and then they would have ended up having a child, and then she would have fallen into more of her parents' pattern because it'd be like, well, we've been together for so long now, and now we've got this child as well. So I think if anything, it was kind of a blessing in disguise in that way.
Yeah, character. I agree. Yeah.
And that she can now bring up her daughter in a new, different cycle and not to have the same fate, hopefully not.
Yeah. It is interesting that she makes a decision that that she's going to let Ryle be in her daughter's life.
Yeah.
Because, I don't know, like, I guess that's tricky because she doesn't want the daughter to resent her when she's older for not letting her. But I don't know, like, when I grew up and I was that daughter, I'd be like, and I found out what happened, I'd be like, oh my God. I can't believe that. Like, I don't ever want to see him again.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And also, how hard must that then become for Lily to be constantly reminded of all those terrible things whenever she sees him?
I know.
Or hears of him.
Mm.
But then, like you say, it could be worse the other way around as well, because if she just goes completely cold turkey, you always hear these stories in kind of films or whatever of the child then going out and trying to search
for
so it is a tricky one, but I think she takes a lot of her, how she makes that decision comes from her experience of her own father
yeah
and taking comfort in, like, well, he never hurt me, so hopefully he'll never hurt her. Mm. But no, it's hard. It's tricky.
Yeah. Do you know another thing that's frightening about Riley's? When you go back and read it, the first time you meet him, he's kicking a chair across the roof.
Yeah, it's not great, is it? But you don't... And it's one of those things that only when you think back to it, you're like, oh, maybe there were some signs straight at the beginning.
That he does have violent tendencies.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
I don't ever kick chairs.
No, neither. Can't remember the last time I hit anything.
No, I can't remember.
So it's, but you're just so swept up in him being this mysterious, beautiful man.
Mm.
Interested in her.
Yeah.
And it does show you how love is just blind and will not see things. You choose what you want to see.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Infatuated with someone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, my God.
Madness. Love is a type of madness. You hear people say that, don't you?
I know. I'm just so glad that Alex was there and that he, like, in the restaurant, he gave Lily his number and then she memorized it.
Yeah.
Which is also so frightening that she had to memorize his number.
Yeah, because she must have known somewhere in the back of her head that she would need an out. Mm. And the simplest way of doing that, rather than putting his number into her phone, was to memorize the number.
Yeah.
Do you have any final thoughts on It Ends With Us or just general Colleen Hoover? Did you want to talk?
I mean, I was going to have a little talk about the others.
Yeah, go for it. Please do.
So, my review of It Starts With Us is that if you want wholesome Lily and Atlas content, go for it. And it's quite short anyway. But I don't think it's very good. Because mm-hmm. Colleen Hoover's like, oh no, I need to come up with another, like, some kind of plot for another book about them. Like, what do I do? And so there's a plot about Atlas having a long-lost brother, which just is not the one. I don't know. I wonder if maybe would it have worked better to just have, like, you know, with the Bane Chronicles?
Oh, absolutely iconic.
Yeah. If they just had some, if she just put together some little short stories, just some episodes showing Atlas and Lily's life in the future, rather than writing it out as a novel, because...
Yeah, maybe that would have been better.
Like, all people wanted was to see Lily happy with Atlas. I don't think we need a sequel with, yeah, a whole long lost brother stuff and him opening a second restaurant and then, like, having Ryle back in the picture, getting all jealous. Like, no.
Yeah, I think a little short story collection would have been good.
I think that would have been perfect because, yeah, obviously.
Around a bit more.
Yeah, because I know we haven't really spoken about Atlas because it was important for me to talk about Ryle.
Yeah.
Well, not Ryle, but about, Lily's experience of that. But I'm such an Atlas fan. Love,
yeah, he is so
Leo sweet. Atlas. I wrote down so many quotes from it, though. That was so adorable that he said. And I was like, yeah, love you. So, yes, I was upset alongside everyone else when I saw he was going to play Atlas. I was like, okay, great. So the other ones, Ugly Love. So this one is Tate moves into an apartment. That actually is, she moves into her brother's apartment and his neighbor works with him. They're both pilots, and this pilot, Miles, she meets him when she first moves in, and he's really drunk because, like, I don't know, some trauma or something. And then she has sex with him once, and they're like, nah. And then they basically decide to be friends for benefits. And it's about what happens with that. But there's some reason why, like, he can't have a relationship.
Okay.
And you're like, what is he hiding in his past? And then there's a big reveal and you're like, whoa. That one does get, like, it does get quite romantic towards the end. Like, they have chemistry. So if you're going to read another one of her books, I'd say that one.
Yeah.
It depends if you can handle the, like, her writing style. But I did find the plot gripping.
Mm-hmm.
And then when it comes to Verity, now, I go against the trend of people who have read it because I did not like it. It was going okay. I was getting past the cringe, but it was the ending for me in that you already had one plot twist. Don't go back on yourself and have a second one. And then, so like, obviously, Verity's a thriller one. And I think thrillers, no, that's not her area.
That's fair.
And I think people really love it because of the plot twists, but I just am very cynical about them.
Yeah, they have to be pulled off well.
I just think it's all a bit like cop out. I think it's all quite lazy writing, but if that floats your boat,
yeah,
fair enough. But no, I don't recommend that. And this is said as someone who like reads quite a lot of these kind of books, so I'm not even like being judgy about it because I do normally like these kind of books. And then what have we done? Oh, and then the only other one I read was All Your Perfect, which was about a couple who met because they found out at the same time that their respective partners were cheating on them with each other. And so they got to know each other through that. And then, yeah. And then it's in the future, they're not really in love anymore because they've been having fertility problems. And so it's about, it's pretty much just about, yeah, struggles with fertility. But to be honest, it's quite dry.
Okay.
And not very romantic, and they're just a bit more 2D. It doesn't have the passion of Ugly Love.
Mm-hmm.
I thought, yeah, I don't know, because it's an important topic, but I don't know, it's just boring. So I don't like that. Yeah. So that's my rundown on what I've read of Colleen Hoover.
Very good.
I think I want to read, is it called like November 9?
November 9, yeah.
Because I've seen that everywhere. I think that's one of the other like big ones that people have been reading. I'm still going to read it in the hope that it's giving Ugly Love vibes.
Yeah.
So I'll see.
Very good.
Yeah. But anyway, is it Blonde Moment time?
I think it is Blonde Moment time.
Blonde Moment!
Okay. Not very original Blonde Moment this week, but I think it's definitely a very deserving Blonde Moment. This week's Blonde Moment goes to Greta Gerwig because she is the first female director to have surpassed $1 billion at the box office and to have done that in a handful of weeks as well.
I know.
Is absolutely insane. So big up to Greta Gerwig. And she's only 40. She's still young. She's only directed, I think, 3 films.
Really?
I think she has only directed 3. Lady Bird, Little Women, and Barbie. And there's talks about her directing new Narnia films for Netflix. And she also co-stars, like, she's an actor as well. I think she definitely started out in as bleh, in acting back in like 2006, 2009.
Oh.
So she kind of does everything, and she's definitely trailblazing in female direction.
Yeah.
I mean, we absolutely love a female director.
We do.
And I do enjoy her films. I mean, I haven't seen Lady Bird in a very long time, so I can't really remember it, but I love
it. I did like it.
Yeah. And I mean, these films as well that she's directing, they also often get quite a few awards as well.
They do. But
she's doing very well for herself. So I thought, she did direct a film in 2008 as well, and wrote and produced it.
Okay.
But yeah, very excited. I just thought, gotta go to Greta, making moves as a female director.
Yeah.
Yeah. Whoop whoop. Huh? That's this week's blonde moment.
Yay. Anyway.
What will we be back with in a couple of weeks' time?
We'll be back with the beautiful Paul Mescal's film.
Go back to Paul.
After Sun, because we clearly just can't get enough of Paul Mescal this season.
No, we cannot. But I'm very, very excited for this, because I know the kind of buzz about this film has died down post-awards season and whatever, and it has been out a while, but I think it's one that neither of us have seen yet.
So no.
Very excited to watch it and, yeah, chat about it. So it should be good. So join us then.
Thanks for listening to 2 o'clock with Keller.
Join us next time for more.